writer of Ecclesiastes said that for everything there is a season. There is a time, appointed time. And this morning, I want to just touch on a thought that I think is right in line with our recent trip to the country of Jamaica. I want to share some thoughts on the subject, in God's time. In God's time. I want to ask you a question today. Who sets your schedule? And then I want to follow up with this question. Do you control it, or do others determine when, where, and what you do? Who's in control? You may never have thought of it that way, but you have a schedule. We all do. And I think how you answer that question will reveal something about who you are and how you see yourself in God's family and in the work of the Lord. Some people think that it's only preachers and evangelists and missionaries that are technically in the work of the Lord. The fact of the matter is that we're all in the work of the Lord. Some of us just do certain kind of specialized ministries, perhaps, but we're not the only ones. You're all working for God, right where you are. And there's a schedule that God has for all of us. And maybe you need to think about that. Who does set your schedule? Do you have control over it? How do others influence you on what you do, where you go, and the timing? Who's in control? Who's in control? I was thinking about this as I recounted again the passage that you'll find in Acts, the 16th chapter. Now, this is an interesting chapter because how many here this morning know that even though you're a Christian, sometimes Christians don't always get along with each other? You're not supposed to say that, I guess. But, you know, sometimes this person, we call it personality differences or whatever, but the fact of the matter is, sometimes we don't always get along well with each other, and there's various reasons for it. You have certain tastes, certain interests, certain things that are special to you that may differ from someone else, and there are times when a conflict may arise. And this chapter that I just point your attention to in Acts, the 16th chapter, is interesting because you have Paul and Barnabas out. What was happening was they were going around evangelizing different towns throughout Asia, in that part of the world, and outlying areas. They were intending to go to Asia, and they were intending to go to outlying areas, and they were first ministering to those towns around Jerusalem, but they wanted to go out and further beyond. And they got to reasoning and said, you know, we've established some churches along the way. Let's go back and let's begin to encourage and bring back reports on how the churches are doing. And they got discussing this, and Barnabas had a great idea. He said, let's take John Mark with us. And John Mark evidently had been with them in ministry, and he left them. And so that didn't sit well with Paul. And so they had an argument, a friendly discussion over this. And Barnabas was pretty adamant about it, and Paul was just as adamant. And as a result, they parted ways. Now, I think that they came to the conclusion that they could agree to disagree, and that's what they did, because they still were in ministry. And Barnabas took John Mark, and he went to Cyprus, and then Paul chose Silas, and that's where they teamed up together. And then Silas became that co-laborer with Paul in his ministry as they began to seek places where they could evangelize and go back to certain churches. And they wanted to recap, you know, wanted to go over things and help encourage those who were in the faith. And that's kind of the backdrop for this, because I'm bringing you up to verse 6 in chapter 16. And this is the incident with Paul and Silas and their missionary travels. And it says, and as they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. That, I think about that. We're supposed to always have a word for God. We're supposed to always want to do things. We were go for God, go for God, go for God. And here it says that they wanted to go into Asia and they were forbidden. Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do it. They wanted to. He said, no, you're not going to do that. So it goes on and it says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And then verse 7 says, and when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into the area of Bithynia. And it says, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. There it was again. So what's going on here? We're supposed to go out and tell the world and evangelize and do this. You begin to get the idea here that they had a certain agenda. They were trying to orchestrate things, but it really didn't fit within God's timing. It wasn't God's schedule. They were seeking their own schedule, and as they sought their own schedule, problems were arising. They just didn't feel good about it. They didn't feel the sanction of the Holy Spirit saying, yes, go ahead and do this. And it says that they were trying to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And then it says, in passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. And I want to ask the question right now, and that is, how do you interpret God's delays? Is God's will even a consideration? When God delays something, do you stop and think, well, maybe it's not God's will? Or is it, maybe that's not even a consideration? God's delays. God delays some things, doesn't he? Certainly does. And here these men of God were trying to do something good and noble, spread the word, and they kept feeling restraint. You know, there's something that we read in Scripture of things happening in due time, in due season, or in due time. For example, I'm just going to read a few of these verses to illustrate this. In Deuteronomy, it says, Deuteronomy 32:35, it talks about the vengeance of God. It says, vengeance is mine and retribution. It says, in due time, talks about the evildoers, their foot will slip. For the day of their calamity is near and the impending things are hastening upon them. Sometimes God's people got a little impatient with God and God reminded them, in due time. That idea is that God has a timetable. God has a schedule. In due time, it's coming. But it's God's time. It's not necessarily your time or my time. 1 Samuel, it says, concerning Hannah, it said, and it came about in due time, at the right time. That's when she conceived and gave birth to a son. And in Psalms, it says, the eyes of all who look to thee, thou didst give them their food in due time. In due time, at a certain appointed time. By God. And in Galatians 6:9 it says, and let's not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. See, in due time. I have a feeling that for some it's really hard to wait around for due time. Are you ready yet, Lord? Is this the due time? What can I do? Come on now. And we have that attitude sometimes because we get focused on something or what we think is the right and proper thing, but we don't realize that God has everything in control and he wants to have that kind of control in our lives. And it's very frustrating sometimes for us because we like to think that we control things, and what we need to realize is some of us allow others to control us more than God when it comes to the timing of what we do. Where we go, what we say, what we get involved in. There are times when delays and redirection are actually arranged by God. It's actually God. It's not a mistake. It's not a mishap. It's God who is doing it. And I can illustrate that in a moment from our recent MAPS trip. If you go back to the passage in Acts 16, it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. God is speaking through a vision to Paul. And in verse 10 says, and when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Maybe some of us need to see the vision. I don't know. I'll just ask this rhetorically. You don't have to raise your hands. But Anybody here ever have a vision from the Lord? You have to answer that yourself. Have you had a vision from the Lord? It says in the last days, God's going to speak to His church, to His people, through dreams and visions. Now, some people throughout the world are beginning to experience this. Dreams and visions. Jesus is appearing to people. Angels are coming and giving a message from God to certain individuals. There are people that are experiencing this. I ask you, have you ever had a vision from the Lord? That doesn't necessarily mean you're super spiritual or anything, but I just thought it's interesting to let you know that in the last days, God's going to communicate more through the church and in the church through dreams and visions. Now, I don't want you to try to interpret every dream as from God. A few years ago, there was a group that was, it was kind of this thing going around in some circles, Christian circles. They were dream interpreters. And books were written on that, what your dreams mean. And there were even some church groups that were going to malls and setting up shop there in the mall with a little sign there. It was supposed to be an outreach and ministry. You know, come with us with your dream and we'll let you know what your dream means. Well, I don't know. I think that's bordering on, you know, I wouldn't call it fortune telling, but I'll tell you, man, to me, that's a shot in the dark. Maybe it means this, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. You better know God is in it if you're going to do something like that, telling people what their dreams mean. But there are times when I don't have to tell you it's from God. You'll know it's from God when God speaks to you in a dream or a vision. No one has to come along and tell you. What do you think? God gives you these things just to confuse you? There are times when God interprets dreams, but usually He gives it to others who don't understand the things of God, and then a godly person is gifted to interpret it. But you're in touch with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. God can speak to you directly. If He wants to tell you something, you ought to know what it is that He's saying. It shouldn't be just a bunch of mumble jumble that you don't understand. You should know this is God. This is what God is saying. This comes from the Lord. God is speaking to me. Maybe that'll happen to you. You'll have a dream and you'll realize that it's not just a result of what you ate at supper time. That it has meaning, it has significance. That God is trying to break through the ordinary and expose in your heart the extraordinary. Comes by an act of God. And so a vision appeared to Paul. He said, look, we ought to go and preach to them. That's God's will. Now, I want to move on to this because we want to share in the communion that we have here this morning together. And I want to just mention this. God's will and God's timing are essential for building His kingdom. And I want to use the example of the timing of this most recent missions trip, construction trip that we took to Jamaica. If you knew some of the background and the particulars, and more can maybe said of this in a few weeks, but I would say it was about a year ago. In fact, the missionary recounted this to some of his staff. It was about a year ago that I came to know a missionary, Brother Steve Puffpaff is his name. And it's an interesting name. I think it's a Dutch origin or something like that. But Puffpaff is his last name. And I had heard of him a few years ago. And kind of, I was looking for a MAPS project, and he was one of the missionaries that was suggested to me, and I wrote off an email, and somehow it just didn't work, and so we went and did some other projects. But he was in the area and said, could I stop by? Would you allow me to come by and visit you? And I want to share with you what we're doing in Jamaica. And so I said, sure. And I took him out for lunch, and we shared. And I felt at the time when that happened, I said to him, I says, I know it's a big project. He's had about 150 construction teams down there because it's a big project. They're building over several years. I says, tell me what is the most urgent need you have. I says, I don't bring big teams. I'll bring a smaller team, but we like to specialize and do things that maybe some other churches, they don't have quite the same ability to do. I says, I've got some very skilled people in my church, so let me know. And he said, well, there's this building, and for a number of years, it's a two-story building. It's going to be a three eventually, but right now it has no railing, and it's quite dangerous for the children. They want to use it for the children. And I felt almost immediately God speak to my heart and said, I want you to go down there and build that for them. So I said, look, I says, we can do it. I says, I've got men in my church that can do that. I says, I don't, personally, I'm not skilled in that area, but it's going to take a lot of welding. It's a welding project. I said, I've got men in my church, men of God, that I know will come and will do it. And I didn't know exactly the size or the scope of it and all that was involved, but I made that commitment, and the original plan was to do this last winter. That wasn't working out, so then we said, well, maybe the spring, and that didn't work out. So then I just passed it off and said, well, evidently it's not God's will for some reason. I missed God on this, and we'll just do something else. And then I got an email from this missionary, and in that letter, he said, would you please consider coming? And he gave me the date to come, and at the time, it was not good timing for me. I didn't want to go that particular time of year in September. There were reasons for it. But he said, that's the 1 week. And so I kind of reluctantly prayed, and then I got confirmation from the Lord, you go ahead and schedule it. So way back in the spring, we began to make plans, and I said, I can do it because I know I have a key man that can really help us, and that was George Reynolds. He's sitting here this morning in the service. He's my key man on the welding. And I sing his praises all over, by the way, about what he can do with welding. And if you know George, you know that he's very skilled in that area. And that's what he does. He's a master welder. And so I thought, yeah, we'll do it. Had it all planned, had it all lined up. We started making plans. We were purchasing tickets and all that. And little did I realize what was going to happen. God really blessed George and made me feel pretty lousy for a few nights anyways, because he got us a really good job and locally here, and all of a sudden what I thought was a possibility about 2 or 3 weeks out all of a sudden was an impossibility, and I was concerned. The interesting thing was that he assured me, he said, look, he said he had been talking to Clint, his son, and said, Clint said he'll go. The interesting thing about that is that you may not realize this, but that Clint travels quite a bit. He's involved in his own pursuits. He's really quite a star in his own right. We don't know that, perhaps. You don't know that, but he's on the internet, by the way. And he does BMX stuff, and he travels. He has some people who endorse him. He's also in a commercial I saw. I won't tell you what it is, but if you want to know more about that, you talk to him and you talk to me afterwards. But the interesting thing was is that this was going to be his first time going on any trip. And George says to me, hey, don't worry about it, Pastor. He says, I'm confident Clint can do the job. I said, okay. And, you know, I love Clint, but I really wanted George to be there. You know how you're praying one way and then God says, sorry. Yeah. And so I said, okay. I said, we're going to trust, and I know he's capable. So I said to Clint, I says, Clint, you're going to be the man to help be the lead guy on this. And then I have some other men here that also are very skilled and have worked with iron and metal and steel. And they got on board and joined the team. And Clint's schedule, he isn't often, like I said, he travels a lot. But it just so happened that his schedule opened up so that he could go at this particular time. It's the first trip, like I said, the first trip he's gone on with us. It just opened up. George couldn't make it, but Clint, his son, could go. I thought, man, that was just a miracle in itself. And so we made our trip over there. Each one of these men on our team, by the way, they all brought a skill that was essential to the success of our endeavors there, each one of them, each one of the members. We had a six-member team, counting myself. We all have responsibilities. And I'll tell you, some of the men in this church, God has really gifted. And I have others that didn't go on this trip that have been on others that are very skilled. And we appreciate each and every one of them. God has gifted the men of this church. Some of you might be sitting out there this morning. You didn't go on this trip. Maybe you haven't gone on others. But God wants you to go on a trip. That might be in God's schedule. You better listen to the Lord. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that ahead of time. I have a feeling that God has been speaking to somebody here today. Listen to what God is saying, because God will use you. And at the same time, he will bless you. He'll bless you. So I thought it not the best time, but it was God's due time. God's due time. And let me just say this. I'll not go into a lot of detail right now, but I will say in 1 week's time, much was accomplished for the Lord. Our labors are always best invested when done in God's time. Remember that. Our labors are always best invested when it's done in God's time. And it's more important that we be ready when His time for us arrives. Some say, well, I thought the timing was the important thing. No, it's more important that you be ready so that when He indicates, when He directs, He lets you know that this is the time. Being ready means, okay, Lord, then now I'll go, now I'll do. I was speaking to the missionary before we left, and he said, you know, he said, I've had a lot of teams here, a lot bigger teams. He says, you're one of the smaller teams I've had. I mean, he's had teams of 15, 20 men. They had a crew come up from Florida that put in, I believe this, a concrete driveway. I don't know how many feet. It was huge. They were a crew that do that kind of work, and they brought the team in, and they were just, I forget how many loads of concrete they brought in and poured that thing. And if you saw the roads up there, you'd know why they wanted to have it done. He had big teams like that, but he said, you know, for the size of your team and the amount of work accomplished, he says, it might be the greatest amount done here over the course of this whole project. Just the few men that you are and what you accomplished in 1 week. And I look back and I say, God, why would I even question whether or not the planning was off the mark? Why would I even question that? And things didn't go exactly the way I wanted. There were some men here that I wish could have gone. I really wish they could have, and they couldn't because of their schedule. And I understand that. And I, you know, you tend to think, Lord, how can I get this done when some of my key guys can't make it? But God knows what He's doing. In God's due time. Hear me this morning, folks. God wants to use you in a special way. Whether or not it's a map strip or whatever, God has a plan. He has a timing for your life. Let Him schedule your life. Don't take over and say, no, God, I can do a better job. Hear me this morning. God can do a far better job scheduling your life than you can. You do what you think you ought to be doing, but always with that awareness. God, You overrule. If this is just a little bit not right, if it's just not quite what You want, then show me somehow, and I will accept Your will. I'll accept it. See, it's far more important to be ready and it is to call the exact time. Let God do that. He'll do that if you'll let Him. And the outcome was is that we had a very fruitful time. And Clint, you were God's man for the hour. I got to tell you that. Yeah, and he's the last one who, if you know Clint, he doesn't like taking credit like that. But I'm going to let you know that God had His hand on that young man. There were times we faced some problems, as always happens on these trips. We had to figure out something. Somebody had to come up with a plan real quick. And I had some other men on the team that God has used that way, and they were very knowledgeable and helped us. But I got to tell you that Clint really, if he hadn't gone, we couldn't have done what we did. We just couldn't have done it. So I'm glad that he canceled some of your planned things that you have, those promotions and stuff that you do and all that stuff. It wasn't to your detriment. God used you for the cause of building the kingdom, and that's a very special thing, very special thing. You see, we need to learn to let God have control of our lives. And I want to encourage you this morning, trust the Lord and trust the timing. Because sometimes you might think, well, you're sitting on the sidelines or something. Listen,
God's due time will come. You just be faithful doing what you're doing. God's due time will come. And then when he speaks, let his voice create faith in your heart to step out and believe that regardless of what you have had planned and all that, it's all somehow going to fall together. And you know what? It will. It will. And God will be blessed and you'll be blessed. The kingdom of God will go forward in God's time. God's time. That's what I want. We're going to go to the table of the Lord this morning. The time for everything. That's what the scripture says. It's an appointed time for everything. There was a time for Jesus to come when he came and minister when he did. And there was a time, really, for him to be betrayed. There was a time for him to be betrayed. There was a time for him to be seized. There was a time for him to be beaten and crucified. There was a time. And we now live in the blessing of the Lord because God was faithful in seeing that all those timely things happened just in the proper order at the right time. And we want to thank the Lord today for his sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for coming when you came. In the fullness of time. That's the way the scripture puts it. In the fullness of time. The fullness of time. See, that's the right time. That's God's time. I don't know what's going through your minds right now and what you're facing, but I have a feeling that some of you have been thinking about this. There are some events, perhaps, or things going on, and it has to do with time and either how you're going to do it, get it done, whatever. But, you know, you need to just, I think, trust the Lord. Say, God, help me work this all out. Help me to know what the timing is. What's the right time? Because if you can discern that, if you will open your heart, and I believe God wants to guide your life, you'll be blessed. And, you know, a blessed life is a happy life. All of us have an appointed amount of time on this earth. And you can live it one of two ways. You can live it full of anxiety, full of questioning, full of frustration, kind of doing your own thing. Or you can put your confidence in the Lord and say, God, I've got so many years on this earth. I've got a certain lifespan. And I'm just going to take it a day at a time. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to trust that you're going to unfold your will for me and your time schedule. And I want to be doing the things that you want me to do. I want to be sensitive to your voice. I want you to help me put things in priority and get them in the right order and give me that ability, Lord. I don't want to do it all myself. I don't want to do it all myself. God, you can help me. I want to be sensitive to that special time you have for me to accomplish those great things you want to be accomplished for your kingdom. I think if we all began to pray that way and believe that way, you know, revival would come to this church in such a way that you couldn't hold it back. God wants to do something really great. But he needs a people who are looking for his presence, looking for his move, believing that it's going to happen, and wanting to be a part of it. Some people are afraid of revival. I hope that's not you. I hope you say, God, come in the fullness of your presence into this place. And Lord, we know it's in your due time, but believe that it's going to happen. Believe that it's going to come. Don't be satisfied with where you are in Christ, but be anticipating a greater outflow of his grace and mercy and presence. Saying, oh God, that time is going to come. I'm looking forward to it. I want to be ready. I want to be involved. I want that time to happen. For me, for my life, for those I love, I want to be involved. God's time. Ready. And I will respond. I will respond and say yes. I'm going to ask your brethren to come forward. Brethren are going to serve you. Please hold the emblems of our Lord's sacrifice until all have been served. We'll participate together. And let's be reflecting upon God's word this morning. And ask the Lord, Lord, is there some special timing in what you have for my life? A time for everything. God has a time for it all. Don't miss God's best. Don't miss God's best. Let God do something really special in your life today. Perhaps one of the greatest illustrations of God's timing and knowing the right time. When Jesus, as he hung on the cross, sensing that the hour was at hand, he was going to die a physical death. And then what he does is he calls out and he says these words, "It is finished." The exact timing of God at the appointed hour at the right time. It is finished. Those are some of the most powerful words for the church. When you think about it, there's nothing you can add to what God accomplished. There's nothing more you could do. God had done it, and Jesus was faithful in that appointed hour. It's finished. And then he gave up the Spirit. This reminds us that that account is real. There was a moment in time when Jesus hung on a cross in the flesh, uttered those words, and he was willing to accept the timing of the Father for what was happening in his life, and he uttered those words. My friend, hear me this morning. Because of that, you are here today because of that moment. Your life can be touched by God, and you can be used of God. This symbolizes, this little wafer symbolizes his life in the flesh. Let us partake of it together in Jesus' name. Jesus took the cup. He identified it as the blood of the new covenant. It was going to be shed for us. The new covenant is sealed in the blood of Jesus. The fact that we can be redeemed, that we can be saved. And the way that happens is by simply saying, "Jesus, come into my life. I want to serve you. Cleanse me from my sin. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I ask you to be my Savior. forgive me of my sins. I want to live for you. And when you do that, it's a change of direction in your heart. It's a change of direction in your life. People say, how does it happen? I don't know how it happens, except the Holy Spirit enters your life and you become a child of God. Child of God. Blood of the new covenant. Jesus shed that blood for us at Calvary. And in grateful remembrance of what he did at the appointed time, let us partake of this cup in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, my soul does burn within me. I feel Jesus and he's in this place. Stand as we sing it together. Oh, I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place. Yes, my soul does burn within me, for I feel Jesus. And he's in this place. Amen. Just for a moment, just close your eyes. The Lord is here in a special way. Just close your eyes. Do you sense the presence of the Lord? Don't think about what you're going to be doing in the next 10 or 15 minutes. Right now, the Spirit of the Lord is here. He has not left. He's here. Lord, you are here among us. As your people go their various ways, I pray that you would bless their lives, so that they might be fruitful for you. May their lives count for something in your kingdom, I pray. May we all purpose to do our best to hear the voice of God, to find that right timing and to accept it, and then be faithful, to be ready, and then to do what you've called us to do. May your love, peace, and grace be upon each one. May they go in the name of Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll have something for all young ones and for the adults right here, 6 o'clock. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.
On my own, now that I am seen.